come on up for children's church. This is on the first Sunday of the month. We do have a special children's church, and this morning I got a prop here and I got to be careful with it, so I'm going to stay standing up for just a few minutes because I don't want to spill this on anybody, okay? You know, this cup kind of reminds us of our life sometimes. On the outside, it may look clean and white and pretty to others. It may look like that it's just as clean as could be, as clean as the snow is when it falls. It looks like it could just be the most beautiful thing. Sometimes if you're thirsty and you see a cup of water, man, there's nothing any prettier than that to be able to quench your thirst. And also with this container, you see how it's shaped. Anything that's put inside of it takes on the shape of this container, this cup. So it narrows at the bottom, gets bigger at the top, but yet it contains anything that's inside of it. Kind of like the way we are. As we contain the Spirit of God, we can either let it fill up every avenue of our person, or we can be half full or half empty, ever how we want to look at it. But everything on the outside looks like it's perfect and it's full. When it gets to the brim, you got to be really careful with it. So yesterday I was down at Golden Corral, and evidently they had some new cups. Yeah, I know y'all was down there too. And they had some new cups, and they had some plastic parts that had been left on it. And when they were sitting on the trays, they didn't set still. They was all over the place. Kind of reminds me of some Christians. Sometimes we got some parts that we don't get fully rid of and turn over to God, and we're all over the place because of them. But we look at that cup and what it contains, and we know that whatever's in it, it's not going to leak out. And we can have the illusion, and we can appear to people that to be full of God and to be full of His Spirit and to be following Him. But sometimes when our life gets turned upside down, just as this full cup of water gets turned upside down, we realize there's nothing in there. And sometimes that's the way our life is. Sometimes when it gets turned upside down, we don't trust in God because we never had Him to start with. We only put on the illusion, as I was making out like this cup was full of water, we put on the illusion to be a Christian. We make believe that we're a Christian. But we don't need to make believe we're a Christian. We need to be a Christian. And to be a Christian, we have to know Jesus. And y'all know, as we studied here at Christmas time, we know about the birth of Jesus. And He came as a babe in a manger. And He grew up just as you all are growing. And He learned the things that His dad here taught Him. And He also knew the things that God had given Him. And as He grew and became a man, He knew it was time for Him to start preaching. And He went to teach and to tell others about His coming and His love. And He shed His blood on Calvary that we could be saved. You got a question?
When is Jesus' birthday?
When does Jesus what?
Birthday.
When's His birthday? We celebrated it at Christmas. That's Jesus' birthday. We just celebrated His birthday. And by Him being born, He become a friend to all mankind. Good tidings of great joy that He shared to each one of us. And He wants us all to grow up and be good Christian boys and girls, to know Him and to learn. So when we're in Sunday school and the teacher's teaching, we need to learn all we can about Jesus. When Mom and Dad's reading us stories from the Bible, we need to listen. And if we have questions, ask. And when the preacher's preaching, to listen to what the preacher has to say and to know all you can find out about Jesus, because it's going to be something that will stay with you all of your life and will give you something great, the greatest joy that you can ever know. You know the joy of opening those presents on Christmas morning, that joy? Jesus is even far beyond that.
And when is Santa's birthday?
Whose?
Santa.
I don't know when Santa's birthday is. He was born a long time ago. But Jesus came to be our Savior, and He was born on Christmas. So just remember, don't put on the illusion of being full of Jesus. Let's be full of Jesus, okay? All right, y'all can go back to your seats.
I see drops.
I did that little illustration one time, and there was a piece of garbage that was in the bottom of the cup that I didn't see. And when I went like that, something fell out of it, so I checked this one out this morning. I know I scared some of the others, the adults, that there's something going to come out of there, but not as much as the kids. All right. And that's very fitting to our lives, too. We can appear to be what it needs to be, but sometimes we're just as empty as that cup is. If you will, turn to Nahum chapter 3, and that's in the Old Testament. So it's after, if you know where Jonah's at, go 2 books on past Jonah, back toward the New Testament, and you'll find Nahum. And Nahum was about the year of 1662 to 662 B.C. to 612 B.C. is the area that we're dealing with here when we see Nahum here. And what he's going to share with us is he was one of the minor prophets. We've talked about that already because he had a short book. That's why he's a minor prophet. Not that his story is any less valuable than the major prophets. But in the book of Nahum, we're going to see another city that's already been talked about earlier in the Old Testament in the book of Jonah, the place called Nineveh. That's right. Come on, y'all, get with me. Now we're going to make this more interactive. I'm going to ask questions. I need response. So, all right. So, who went to Nineveh? Jonah went to Nineveh. Now, in the book of Nahum, we're going to see is kind of Jonah part 2, because he's going to go back to Nineveh and he's going to talk to the people here and he's going to tell them of the judgment that's coming, because when they first heeded, if you remember, Jonah got upset because when he finally gave in to go preach the Word of God after he left the whale's belly and it spit him up and he ran to Nineveh and preached to them, what did they do? They repented of their sins and their transgressions and started following God. So therefore, the judgment of God was turned from Nineveh at that time. This is over 100 years later, thereabouts, that this has taken place, when God sends another prophet to Nineveh to tell them, because of their wickedness, what's about to take place. Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian government there. It was a place of the brutality and the pagan worship and idolatry. That's why there was going to be judgment to come to Nineveh. Let me tell you, God is sending people to tell us in America today the same story of our sins and transgressions. It's still coming from God's Word. It needs to be preached today that we are going to face judgment for the things that we're allowing to happen, for the things that are taking place in our government, in our homes, in our churches today, that we can't keep playing church and turning a deaf ear to God and not listen to Him, have idol worship, and have brutality toward Christians and those that's supposed to be our brothers and sisters, that this is not going to be allowed to happen, that God will bring some kind of punishment to us or lift His hand of protection away, that Satan can trouble us if we're not a mind to turn back to God. Nineveh had been warned, and they repented of their sin. There's a time that America has been warned, and we repented of our sins and transgressions and tried to get back to following God, but for just a little while is all we done it. Will it take 100 years before God sends or allows another judgment to come to us, or allows someone to touch us, to physically afflict us? The Assyrians came in. If you remember a few weeks back about the book, The Harbinger, that we was talking about, the Assyrians had attacked them and caused a breach in the wall. They said, "We will rebuild. We will make bigger. We will make stronger." And all these things that they put in there. What we need to do is remember that God's the one in charge. He's the one that we need to put back in our lives and not come up with something bigger and better than God. What we need is God back in America. We need God back in our church. We need God back in our homes. We need God on our lips, and not just lip service, but life service to God. That we just don't say we're a Christian, that we live a Christian life, that we are a Christian every day when people see us out in the world, that they know that we're a Christian by our actions, by our walk, by our talk, by the things that we do, that we don't leave in their mind any doubt that we are serving a living God this morning. And Nahum, like I said, he has come later on. He has come to tell them of the destruction that's coming. God is going to use another people to come in and defeat the Assyrians, and going to take in Israel on into captivity here. As we're going to see, the Babylonian government and the Babylonian people are going to come and defeat the Assyrians, and are going to take Israel on into bondage. There's going to be an exile from Jerusalem. The temple's going to be destroyed. The city's going to be destroyed. And we see that taking place in the Old Testament. And God was warning them all along and telling His people, listen, I'm going to remember my covenant with you. I'm going to remember you for the things that you've done, and I'm going to not forget you. But let me tell you, you're going to go through some things because of your disobedience. Let me tell you, in America, we're no better than the children of Israel were if we keep being disobedient, stiff-necked, and high-minded, and lifted up, and continue to thumb our nose at God. Then we're going to see these things take place. It needs to be preached in the churches across the land. I know this ain't no shouting message. I know this is something that don't get to too many amens and stuff that goes on. But let me tell you, we need to return to God. We want flirty messages that are sugar-coated, that tickles our ears and makes us feel good inside. But let me tell you, God should make you feel good because He's given you a warning, church. He's given you the Bible. And we need to read and study it. It's important, the Old Testament, just as important as the New Testament, because it teaches us of what God tried to tell the children of Israel, that we don't have to go through the same things that they went through. Now we see in the book of Nahum, it said he was the word of God came to him, and he was I can't remember the name they called him here. He's Ecclesiastes. That's in chapter 1, verse 1, where it gives us a description of Nahum as the word came to him about Nineveh. And we're going to be, there's not only three chapters in the book, so we may cover the whole book. We'll just do whatever God lays on our heart to do. But we see Nahum here, he was being obedient to God. He was telling them about the coming destruction. He was listening to what God was telling them and trying to tell the people. Listen, we need to open our ears and listen to God. It's too long that we've sat around and with a deaf ear and with, like I said before, tongues speaking from the pulpit. That's not speaking the truth. That's speaking what we want to hear. We need to hear the Word of God, not what makes us happy, not what makes us feel good, and things are going to be all right. We can live any old way, and it'll be all right. The God was very specific in what He wanted us to do in service to Him. It wasn't just allow anything coming and going to happen. It was to be a different people, a peculiar people, a people that was set aside for God. And we need to be set aside for God. Now we're going to get to the message. We just got the background. All right, chapter 3 and verse 1. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. Let me tell you today, there's places in America where they're full of lies and deceit. Most of them are the capitals of the states. Most of them are the capital of the United States. Full of lies and deceits and robberies going on. Taking away from God the power that is duly His. Taking away from God that the honor that is belonging to Him. And too many times we have churches that are full of lies and robberies and deceit as well. Leading people down a primrose path to destruction. Saying everything's all right, honey. As long as you feel good, you do what you want to, it'll be okay. God said if we know to do better and God's Word instructs us better, if we know better and we don't do it, it's a sin unto us. And if we want to claim ignorance, let me tell you, God has told us over and over in His Word that there's no reason that we should be ignorant. The Bible writers in the New Testament, Brother Paul, told them many times, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. He wanted them to know the truth. The truth in God's Word is all we need to know. And it will give us a light that will lead us home if we'll heed its calling, if we'll heed its words. But it said, the prey departeth not. Let me tell you today, there's so many today that are feeding upon those that are supposed to be Christians along with them. They're feeding upon their deceits, feeding upon their lies, feeding upon their transgressions. And the way it is a telephone going off. Or nowadays, it's Facebook. Oh, I know, I'm getting on people's toes over that Facebook thing. Hey, people loves that thing better than the telephone. Because you can sit there and type forever and don't wear your voice out. Of course, if you can type, that's better. That's a benefit. I'd be there and it'd take me 30 minutes to type out a conversation. That's why when my texts are very short. Somebody said I was short and to the point. Boy, it's a good thing I don't have to text a message. I'm preaching. It wouldn't last very long. But anyway, today we get on there and we are feeding upon others. Lifting ourselves up by putting them down. Let me tell you, being a Christian, you don't have to do that. You don't have to put someone else down to lift yourself up. What you need to do is lift up Jesus, and He'll lift you up, and He'll set your feet upon a foundation. The noise of the whip, and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses, and of the jumping chariots, the horsemen lifting up both the bright sword and with the and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses. There is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Let me tell you today, there's many corpses laying scattered about America, people that are dying, that are sitting there starving to death for something, needing love in their heart, needing to be shown the love of God. And they're dying today because they're sitting back and no one's willing to feed them. No one's willing to take time to share the Word of God with them. Nobody's taking time to share what Jesus has given us. We have got satisfied with the way that we are and that we have life, but we're not willing to give life abundantly to someone else. We're not willing to share that message of Jesus and what He has done for us at the cross of Calvary. We're more willing to share the story about our football team. I bet there wasn't many people that missed the playoff games last night if you like football. These people sit down, know all their stats to their men that's out there playing, know when they started, know when they reached their highs and all these other things, but they don't know nothing about the Word of God. Shame on us. Shame on us that we don't know about our Lord and Savior. But let me tell you, there was destruction coming. Their corpses were going to be piled up, and He was telling Nineveh, look, it's coming. You've turned your back too long. You've not repented. You didn't keep your word that you made to God to follow Him. They've afflicted the people, and God was going to use another people to come and bring destruction to the Assyrians and take Israel further into captivity. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot and the mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Let me tell you, there's shows on TV today you don't need to be watching. There's stuff on there that's dealing with witchcraft. There's things on there, these psychic networks and these mediums and all these other things that's out there that are not of God, that are following the black arts and the different things. It's not something you need to be dabbling with, because it's a power stronger than you're able to handle on your own. Let me tell you, if you get into that stuff, you better have Jesus on your side, and you better be well-rooted in the Word of God. You won't stay there long in that mess, because God will bring you out of it. But these people, they were given over to idolatry. They were given over to witchcraft. They were committing adultery on God. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. Let me tell you today, there needs to be some shame come back to America. You go to some of these malls and some of these places where there's a lot of people gathered and out here on the street, and they ain't a bit more ashamed of what they got on than the man in the moon. There's more skin shown out there than there would have ever been in an X-rated movie years ago. People out here and don't have a respect for themselves or a respect for God or a respect of others. But let me tell you, God wants us to be a modest people. He wants us to follow after Him, and He don't want us our shame to be out there. He doesn't want us to be ashamed of serving Him, and He don't want to be ashamed that we are serving Him. He wants us to be children of God, set apart, different, not defiled by the things that we allow to come from without, from inside of us. It's not the things that we put in, but it's the things that come out of us. And the way that we represent our Lord and Savior, and the way that we represent God, we need to be careful on the things that we do. And in verse 6 it says, "And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock." Let me tell you, people today are looking at America to see what direction we're going to go. Too often are looking to the man sitting in the White House to see what direction we're going to go. We need to be looking at the man upstairs, God, the Father, and look for Him for the direction for where we need to go. And we need to be gazing upon Him and turning our face toward Him and seeking after His will. Turn our face toward Him and seek what He would have for our lives today. But too many times we're looking at others for the answers instead of looking at God. "I will cast abominable filth upon thee." Let me tell you, some of these things that are going on today, they're abominable filth. And it says, "And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comfort for thee?" Comforters for thee. Let me tell you, there was a time here just a few years back, in 2001, on September the 11th, when the nations of the world looked upon New York City and was weeping and crying because of the destruction that came to the financial markets there when the Twin Towers fell. Because so much business took place there. So many banks were there. So many people that lost their lives. So much uncertainty. But all that was part of God trying to get America's attention. Just as Jonah went into the belly of the whale and came out, God got his attention to preach the message. 100 years later, He uses another man to go and preach to the same city who had already been given a warning. Let me tell you, how many times is God going to have to say to America, "Wake up and quit sleeping. Amen. Quit sleeping. You don't have room for me in your houses. You don't have room for me in your churches. You don't have room for me in your life. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee." Let me tell you, We need to be giving Jesus to those that will draw them unto Him. There's people that won't go to church today because of hypocrites in the church. Well, friend, if that's your excuse, the hypocrite's closer if they're in church. They're closer to God than you are. Don't use them for an excuse. You're the one that has to give an answer for you, not for them. Be in God's house for your purpose, to serve God and do the things that God would have you to do, and God will take care of that other person. Remember the story of the beam and the moat. I got an echo today. He's listening good. That's all right. Art thou better than Populus? No. That is that was situated among the rivers that had the waters round about it, whose ramparts was the sea and her wall, and from the sea, Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite. Pura and Liban were thy helpers. Yet was she carried away, she went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. He's telling them about another place that was destroyed because of their disobedience, because they didn't turn to God. Let me tell you, how clear does it have to get for us that we need to get back to serving God? How clear is it for America that we make a change right now in our way of thinking and right now in our ways of life, that we get back to following God? We need to know His Word, that we can see, that we can be a witness to tell others of what God's Word says, not just the highlights, not just part of it, not just be able to quote John 3:16 or a little bit out of Romans about salvation. That's all important, but we need to know the whole book of God. And the only way we're going to know that is to study it and study it and study it and study it. Make this, instead of the best-selling book in America, the best-read book in America. Open its pages. I dare say there's probably Bibles across America that people have carried for years, and if I went and opened them, the pages would probably make a racket as they were being separated for the first time. Because, oh, I don't want to study from that book. That scares me. Well, if it scares you, you need to study from that book that it don't scare you. Because if you're a child of God, there's no fear in serving Him. Thank God there's love in His Word, and thank God there's instruction. Thank God that we can have joy to know when these things are taking place, we're not going to have to suffer them. Because God has promised He would take care of His people. But where's He going to seek comfort for us? In the heathen nations? Verse 11, Thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Let me tell you, there's a few people in America that if you shake them, they don't break. They don't fall apart. When adversity comes, they're able to stand because they're rooted in the Word of God. When there's a tragedy that happens, hey, we don't use it for a stumbling block. We use it for a stepping stone. We step up on that situation and we just claim Jesus and we keep on going. And we come out on the other side. But there's so many today that when they're shaking a little bit, the first thing they do, I'm going to leave church. It's too hard. Too hard to serve God. That's what Satan's telling you. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you get to know the Word of God, it ain't hard to serve Him. There may be things that happen that you don't like. There may be people that sometimes do things that you don't like, but we can still love one another. If I ever done everything, it's always pleased everybody? No. If they say I have, then they've lied. Has everybody ever done everything, it's always pleased me? I can say no, but I still love them. Still love them. Have you ever done everything, it's pleased God? Oh, mercy. But He still loves me. He even likes me sometimes. That's the difference. You can love somebody without liking them. That's right. But God loves us in spite of ourselves. And He even likes us. He liked us enough that He sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary to die for us. He likes us even when we're unlikable. All thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. We're shaken. We've bent. Some instances we've broke. But those that are truly founded in the Word of God bounce back. Was able to survive. Was able to produce fruit. not just the fruits of the Spirit, but produce fruit. Have led others to Jesus. Have led others to the church to be strengthened. Have give witness and testimony to others that they have found their way to God by being a light that pointed them in the right direction. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of the land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go in the clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brickling. He's telling them, look, there's fire and destruction come. There's water destruction that's coming. The city of Nineveh no longer exists because it was wiped off the face of the map because of their evil ways, because of their disobedience, because of their idolatry, because of their not following God, because He is a jealous God and wants to be served and be the only God. And He's telling them, you can do all these things, but it's not going to matter because the fire is going to burn. There shall be the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, and it shall eat thee up like the canker worm. Make thyself many as the canker worm. Make thyself many as the locust. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of the heaven. The canker worm spoileth and fleeth away. What have we got in America? Everything's about a dollar. We've made merchants out of everything. We've made merchants out of the house of God. We sell everything going in and coming. I thank God that we don't do that here, but there's a lot of places, anything coming and going to make a dollar for the church, they're willing to sell it and get out there and beat the highways and hedges, and you see them coming, and you think, oh Lord, here they come again. They got something else to sell. What are they going to do this time? I know a church below the mountain built a fellowship hall and a life center. I think it was a couple million dollars, and they was raising money trying to sell T-shirts. I don't know what kind of T-shirt that was to raise a couple of million dollars. They was a-selling them. They'd been better off to sell a brick at a time to those that wanted to be in the life center, I think. But anyway, we're selling out on God. We're telling messages that please people's ears because we like their size of their pocketbook. Listen, God owns it all already. If we're doing what God wants us to do, everything will be provided. God will provide for His children. But listen, they'd made merchants out of multiplied them over the stars of the heaven. And we see that the canker worm comes in. They see that's happening. Today, we've got these little things you can stick on your smartphones now. And the trouble is, them smartphones sometimes, they're smarter than you are. You can't figure out all the gadgets on it. And how does this work? I don't know. You need a book for a book to describe the book to read how to use the phone. To place a call. Sandra had one the other day and I couldn't even figure out how to answer it. It was ringing and I couldn't find a button to mash. Don't have no buttons on it. I couldn't find one to answer it with. But now we've got these little things we can stick in there and you can swipe that card and you can sign with your finger. No money involved. Sound like the book of Revelation to anybody starting? Sound like the mark of the beast coming into me a little bit. We thought it was great. You remember when you used to go to McDonald's and you had to have cash? You don't even have to have that no more. You can go in there with a card. Get what you want. Put it on the card. Mark of the beast is coming. It's real. Many years ago, we thought that was just foolishness. It was being taught, these cards doing this. We got chips that we can put in our animals to track them. How long is it going to be till it's humans that they do it to? So they can keep up with us. Oh, we'll put your health information on it. Oh, well, everybody's losing their cards. We're going to put your driving record on it, your driver's license. We're going to put your bank information. All thing you have to do is go in there and just scan your hand. You'll be seeing a lot of people walk around without a hand where somebody's tried to steal it. I guess that's a new five-finger discount. I don't know where I come up with this stuff, y'all. It's just there. But it's all stuff that's coming to pass that's going to take place. Think about it. There's those out there today that need to hear the message. Nahum told the message to the people. He shared with them what was going to take place because God's judgment was going to come. If America don't change her attitudes toward God, if America does not change our beliefs and serving our God, we're going to see some things happen like we've never seen before. And it's not going to get any better than what we've already had. It's going to continue to get worse until we either turn over to Him or the rapture takes place and the children are called out. It's real today. It's going to happen. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day. But when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. The shepherds slumber, and we have too many slumbering shepherds today. Too many people that's supposed to be leading God's people that have went to sleep on the job. O king of Assyria, thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. What a sad situation to hear him telling them here that the people are going to be scattered, that they're not even going to have anyone that's concerned to try to gather them back together, that they're going to be totally destroyed, that this destruction is coming, that they have sleeping shepherds that's not going to care about them. Listen, we need to awake. In America, we're like the children or the disciples that went with Jesus to the garden. As he went to pray, we fell asleep on the job while we're supposed to be praying and watching and being prepared. We've fallen asleep on Jesus. We've fallen asleep on serving God. It's time for a wake-up call. Quit hitting the snooze button on God. That's a device that Satan's come up with. I know sometimes early in the morning it seems great. But it only puts off what the inevitable is. It's the same way with serving God. If we keep hitting the snooze button on God, it's only putting off what the inevitable is. He loves us. He wants to bless us. He loved us so much that He sent Jesus when we were unlovable and died on the cross of Calvary. He gave us His warnings that we don't have to suffer. I'm glad that in the midst of all the things happening, I don't have to worry. I do from time to time until I realize there's no use to me worrying about it. God will take care of it. He always has. But we're still human. I'm not perfect. Far from it. I'm about from here to glory from being perfect. When I get there, I will be. But I'm still in this flesh. It has its moments of failure. There is no healing for thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? There's going to be people that's happy because of the destruction of the capital of the Assyrians. There's going to be people happy because of their brutality. There's going to be happy because of their pain that they've inflicted on others. That destruction has come. There are going to be people that are happy that the Babylonians took over the people of Assyria and destroyed their capital. There would be people today that would be happy if America falls. A Christian nation, many times in words, not in deed. But if we always remember, just as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham pleaded for the city, got down if there was 10 righteous people, that God would spare the city. I think about that for New Hope Church in America. It's maybe being taken over by someone else. If it come down to this number, would there be enough righteousness? Found people actually serving God, that it would stay God's destruction of our land and country as we know it. And that should encourage us to be even stronger in the days that are coming. To know that God will give us a warning. He's given us a warning, but will we heed? Will we heed? Will we follow God? Will we follow Him in 2013? Will we tell others about Jesus? Will we hedge up our defenses? And this right here is the only way we can hedge up a defense against Satan, is to know the Word of God. Not just carry it. We got many carry it Christians. We carry it to church. We carry it back home. We carry it and put it on the table. We wipe the dust off on Sunday morning and we carry it back. There's too much dust on these Bibles and there's too much filth on the altar where we've not cleaned it up and not used it. I want to challenge us in 2013 that we use this place even more than we did in 2012. Well, preacher, I don't always feel like coming to the altar. I don't either. But when you do feel like coming, come. Don't sit back and think somebody's going to think something's wrong with you. If you're a child of God and you never use the altar, there may be something wrong. You've lost your desire. You've lost your concern and compassion for those that's lost, those that are sick. As a child of God, we should bear one another's burdens. We should tell them about the book of Nahum, as he told them of their upcoming destruction because of their disobedience. We should read the book of Amos and the plumb line and read about it that God has set a mark. We should read in the book of Joel. We should read in Hosea. Beautiful, beautiful illustration of God and His unconditional love. We should read all of God's Word. Not just something that sounds good. Not just something that makes us feel good inside. But read about all of it. Know it all and study it all. I'm trying to study more and get more into the history that I can tell you more about it. That you may grow. And as God leads me in my studies to increase my mind, that I can know more. And that I can share more. There's many today that would think, oh, there's no use to study God's Word. If you're a preacher, just open your mouth and God will fill it. You need to study to know so God's got something to fill it with. Amen. God can do it. I've seen Him. But let me tell you, study to show thyself approves what God's Word says. Ready to teach. You can't teach if you don't know it. You can't be given to hospitality if it's not in your heart. And you've got to know His Word for that to be there. To be there. Christians, pray today for sinners. Sinner, if you're here today, if you're lost, I didn't say you were. God said you was if you don't know Him. If your name's not in that Lamb's Book of Life, if you've never asked Jesus to come in, friend, you're lost. But God said you can be saved. He said through His Son's blood and what He did on the cross of Calvary, you could have salvation. If you'll believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, it's that easy. It's that easy if you come to that point that you can believe that Jesus died for you. Faith believing. Walk by faith, not by sight. Jesus died for you and wants to give you a home in heaven, but you have to ask Him to come in. He's standing outside the door knocking. Will you answer and ask Jesus to come in? Everyone stand to your feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Sinner friend, if you're here this morning, you realize you're lost because like I've said before, probably 100 times or more, till you're lost, you can't be found. Until you see the need of salvation in your life that you need Jesus, you can't be found by Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, you know that you're lost, that you need Him. Friend, it'd be a great day to get saved. Tomorrow's no promise that it'll be here. I don't know what it holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. But He said today is the day of salvation. Your life may be required. God may call you to leave this world. And if you leave it lost, friend, hell will be your home. And I don't want you to sit under the preaching of God's Word and die and go to hell because you said, I wasn't given an opportunity to be saved. Friend, it's up to you to make the decision. I can't do it for you. If I could, you'd all be saved or lost. But you must surrender. Would you just lift your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I know I'm lost and I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Pray that God would increase my faith. God bless that hand. An honest heart. Christians pray. Friend, I just want to ask you just to surrender. Surrender and come to Jesus and ask Him to come in. Ask Him to come into your heart. I'll show you in God's Word what it takes. I'll pray for you, but I'd rather pray with you. If you come, I'll show you what God's Word says about being saved. You can be saved this morning, but you just have to trust Him. Be anyone else. Just be honest. Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. God, increase their faith just to trust you. Christian, maybe you're here this morning. You got a need on your heart. Would you just like to lift your hand and say, Preacher, help me pray. I've already said there's been one that's lifted their hand this morning and said they're lost. Christians, we need to be much in prayer. God bless that hand. God bless those hands. God bless those hands. Will you step out and come? Friend, I'll not single you out, but would you come and surrender your heart to God? It'll be one of the greatest things you ever do. You won't give up nothing, but you'll gain all that heaven has if you'll just trust Him this morning. He loves you. I love you. The church loves you. But God loves you most of all because He gave you a Savior. He wants to save you this morning if you'll only come. If you'll only come. Friend, just trust Him. Just trust Him. There'll be others that will come. Friend, it's not too late. It's not too late. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and we thank You for Your love. God, we thank You for Your precious warning that You give us in Your Word. And dear God, we thank You for Your love most of all that directs our paths, directs our lives. And God, as You continue to extend Your love, dear Heavenly Father, I pray for the one today that has raised their hand. It says they know that they're lost and they need You. God, increase their faith. Help them to trust You and surrender to You. Dear God, we pray. Lord, if I could do it for them, I would. But You know and I know that I can't. God, I pray that You just be with them. That You wrap Your arms of love so tight around. Dear God, that Your conviction would be so strong that they couldn't walk away from You. That they'd only have to run to You. God, I pray for these that have come with concerns on their heart this morning. Whatever it might be, dear God, that You answer according to Your will. We have many that are sick, many that are facing surgeries, Lord. So think about Catherine, Lord, tomorrow, the pacemaker, God, that You'd be with her. The different ones, dear God, that are recovering from surgery that You placed Your hand upon and touched and made miracles out of. And dear God, for the miracle for Bethany's ear, dear God, I just thank You. And how You healed it, dear God, that she didn't have to have more surgery. How You've touched our hearts, dear God, and dear Heavenly Father, set us free. That You've taken the burden of the weight of sin off our shoulders and placed them upon Yourself. That we could walk free. Not in bondage to Satan. Not in bondage to the sins of our past. But walking free to the salvation of now and our future. And God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for never leaving us and never forsaking us, no matter what we've done, that You love us in spite of ourselves. And God, that You provided a way, even when I was not lovable, that You loved me. That You loved all mankind so great. Go with us, lead us, and guide us. Increase the faith and strength, dear God, for those to trust in You and to believe You. For our new converts, for our young church members that have joined, give them strength, dear God, to stand upon Your Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You all for all that You have done for us and all that You're going to do. Looking forward to a great 2013 in serving God. And dear Lord, we just thank You for the past, but we don't want to hold on to it because we want to move on into Your future that You have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.